Good morning. I'm going to open the regular Planning Commission meeting for the County of San Luis Obispo for June 27th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Ortiz Legg?
Here.
Commissioner Harrison?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Chairman Moltari?
Here. Okay, it's traditional that we begin our meetings with a flag salute. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, our next item is the public comment period, so people who would like to address this on things not on the agenda can come forward, and I have one speaker slip from Mr. Greening. Eric? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Eric Greening. First, just a note that your next meeting on July 11th is also the day the Coastal Commission will be in town dealing with two hugely controversial items in this county, the vehicular recreation in the dunes and the Morro Bay wastewater treatment plant. You might just check to see how that will affect the ability of planning department people, et cetera, to be with you. Anyway, the main thing I wanted to talk about, there's now a moratorium on the growing of hemp, and I am hoping that you get quickly brought into creating a permanent ordinance so that the moratorium only compromises one growing season and not more. But some issues to think about. Normally, we think of hemp as a fiber crop, and the tone of the staff report almost treated CBD as sort of like cheating, as if it's bad for farmers to maximize the value of their crop. I think the reverse in this water short area is true, that it's not particularly appropriate as a source of fiber given the huge water demand. We should be looking to agaves, for example, which are very drought-adapted. There are hundreds of species, both wild and cultivars, many of them pre-Columbian, that can be tried in this area, and it is a natural fire retardant where it's planted. But there is a tremendous value in CBD not contaminated by THC. Recreational cannabis is full of the stuff that gets you stoned. Speaking frankly as a person with epilepsy, most of us with epilepsy are in a constant search for a medicine that suppresses seizures and doesn't compromise mental acuity. We shouldn't have to smoke pot to achieve the benefits of CBD. CBD is a multifaceted healing substance, and hemp provides it without THC. All of the side effects of smoking and everything like that are unnecessary in terms of achieving the benefits of CBD. And of course, there are lots of other people with other sorts of conditions, pain and all sorts of things that can be helped by CBD. I think a strategy that allows farmers to grow this non-stoning crop that is not so insanely valuable as the stuff that gets you stoned. People don't grow it in their basements. It won't be planted in places where there's no water and dependent on trucked-in water. But let farmers maximize their value with a crop that provides a useful medicine without a high. And I think encouraging that and also encouraging agave is a good strategy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On that, just a question for staff. Is the hemp ordinance, when it is prepared, is that going to be run through the Planning Commission? Is it a part of Title 21 and 2?
Yes, it will.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to that, I think. Is there anyone else? I don't see anybody in the audience, so no. Okay, so that brings us to the staff updates. Alexandria, congratulations on your new job and welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Moltari and the members of the Commission. Alexandria Fowler, County Planning. I'll be providing you with a brief status update on items that the Board of Supervisors recently took action on following your review and an overview of your upcoming schedule. As the public speaker just recently mentioned, industrial hemp urgency ordinance, the board did issue a moratorium on the cultivation with some exceptions. They also directed staff to prepare a permanent ordinance that regulates where it can occur. No timeline on when it will come back for hearings, but we are working on the scope of that and will be following up and updating your commission regularly. On the extension of the water neutral new development programs related to the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin and the Sustainability Groundwater Management Act, the board directed staff to extend the ordinance to avoid the gap between the GSP adoption and the expiration of the offset ordinance. No timeline yet, but we will be returning to the PC and the board this fall to provide information on that gap. Your upcoming schedule, on July 11th, we have two items that are currently scheduled. The first one is a continued hearing item from September 27th, 2018, for a minor use permit, coastal development permit, with a categorical exemption to allow as-built encroachments into the right-of-way on First Street in the community of Los Osos. It also includes landscaping along the eastern portion of the road and an extension of the coastal access boardwalk in front of the Back Bay Inn. The second item is a continued hearing from April 11th, 2019, for a conditional use permit, including modification from the parking standards with the mitigated negative declaration, to establish outdoor and indoor cannabis cultivation, a nursery, processing, and indoor non-volatile cannabis manufacturing on approximately 42 acres in the Carrizo planning area. On July 25th, there are two items that are tentatively scheduled. The first is a conditional use permit, including a modification from the parking standards with the mitigated negative declaration, to establish indoor cannabis cultivation and non-volatile cannabis manufacturing, auxiliary processing activities on approximately 19 acres in the Salinas River sub-area, which is also approximately 1 mile north of the city of San Luis Obispo. The city of Paso Robles. That would be quite an extension there. The second item on that agenda is a conditional use permit, including a modification from the parking standards with the mitigated negative declaration to establish indoor cannabis cultivation, a nursery, and processing activities in South County planning area. On August 8th, that meeting has been canceled. On August 22nd, there are two items that are tentatively scheduled. The first is a conditional use permit, including a modification of fencing requirements with a mitigated negative declaration to allow for a two-phased project consisting of the following. The first phase would be a recreational vehicle sales and storage yard, and the second phase would be a conversion of a portion of that storage yard for the construction of a new two-story office and sales building. And the last item is a conditional use permit, including a modification of parking standards with a mitigated negative declaration to allow cannabis operations that will include indoor and outdoor cultivation, a nursery, operation of a non-storefront dispensary, auxiliary processing activities located within the Salinas River sub-area, approximately 1 mile east of San Miguel. And that concludes staff's update.
Questions?
Where was item one on 827 located? The trailer lot place.
That one is located. Hold on. In South County,
okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you. Okay, so that brings us to the consent agenda. Does anybody have any questions, comments, want to pull any items? I just had one, actually two. First of all, to recognize that the May 9th Planning Commission minutes have been amended from the original version, and thank you, Ramona, for doing that. Non-substantive, just a clarification. And that I have just a point on number five. This is a sixth time extension for a subdivision. Went out there and looked at it, and it certainly seems to fit into the area, but I did notice that it's in a high fire hazard area, and I'm just want to bring to our attention is that when we're continually approving these things on consent calendars, And I wonder whether in the future we should be a little bit more attuned to creating more lots in these high fire hazard. This is not the extreme high hazard, and then there's the high hazard, and then there's the, so it's not the worst category, but it's the second worst category. So I think it fits with what's out there now, but that occurred to me that maybe we should be a little bit more circumspect about approving subdivisions in these high fire hazard areas. Okay. Any other comments on that? Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I'll move to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Everybody approved it. That brings us to our hearings, and we have just one today. Do you introduce the item, please, Ramona?
Hearing item number five is a item number six is a hearing to consider a request by Diane and Wayne Moody and AT&T Mobility for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2018-00125, supervisorial district number 4, project manager Cody Shield.
Thank you. Cody, would you give us a staff report, please?
Yes. Good morning, Chair Moltari and members of the commission. I'm Cody Shield with the Department of Planning and Building. We're here today to discuss the Moody and AT&T conditional use permit. The project before you is a request to allow the construction of an unmanned wireless telecommunications facility consisting of a 65-foot tall monopine, which includes 12 panel antennas, 36 remote radio units, one microwave dish, along with ancillary equipment. The monopine would be located in a 625-square-foot lease area surrounded by 8-foot-tall concrete masonry unit walls. The enclosed lease area also includes a 64-square-foot equipment shelter and a diesel standby emergency generator. The proposed project will result in the disturbance of approximately 4,500 square feet, including utility trenching on a 10-acre parcel. The project is located at 10990 Bobcat Lane, approximately 11 miles east of the city limits of Arroyo Grande. The project site is located in the agriculture land use category. Here we have an aerial of the overall site and the aerial site enlarged. Here we have the submitted overall site plan and then enlarged site plan of the facility. Here's the lease area and proposed compound layout plan. Here we have the antenna plan and the equipment layout plan. Here's the proposed southeast elevation of the monopine and the equipment compound. And here's a southwest elevation. Here we have a photo simulation of the existing and proposed, looking south from Bobcat Lane. And we have another photo simulation. This is looking northeast from Wasna Townsite Road. And as you can see from the propagation map, there is no coverage currently. But after the proposed development, you can see the swath of coverage in that valley. So with that, staff recommends adopting the mitigated negative declaration and approving conditional use permit DRC 2018-00125 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. That concludes my comments.
Very good. Any questions for staff? Okay, seeing none, I'll open the public hearing. Would you like to address us?
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners.
This is Jerry Ambrose. I'm here on behalf of AT&T. I don't have anything to add to staff's presentation. I'm here to answer any questions.
This is a question, and it's not necessarily a negative one, but and I know you can't speak for Verizon, but we're getting a plethora of these. When is the saturation point going to be reached, given the size of our county, the configuration of our county, et cetera? Is there ever going to be an end to this?
Well, these particular projects for AT&T are going into rural areas established by the federal government that are considered to be unserved. They don't have any reliable service. So all the ones, you've seen me a lot here, and these are all in sort of the back areas of the county. I realize that I'm here a lot, so you're seeing me a lot.
Oh, certainly, right. But, yeah. I have no problem with that.
For instance, this is Wasna Valley. If you're familiar with that, it's along Wasna Valley Road, and there's nothing out there. There's just nothing out
there.
So
at some point in time, it will reach the saturation point of only so much land left in the county that's untouched.
I assume so at some point, but obviously it's a very large county, and you have a lot of rural areas, Highway 58. If you've driven back and forth, there's no service. Okay. So there's plenty of areas to still add more towers.
Good. Thank you.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes. Is the 60, 65-foot standard, is that the new 5G standard?
No. All the ones, I've been here several times, and they all range from about 60 to 80 feet.
Okay.
So this has to do with the propagation of the signal, not the 5G or 4G.
Yeah, last time you were here, I think we talked about 5G becoming more and more prevalent, and it had to be higher because it was line of sight or something like that.
Oh, no, it's for the broadband. The impetus of this is a wireless broadband, and that has to be a direct line of sight to people's houses.
I see. That's not 5G.
That's just wireless broadband.
Okay.
Mr. Andrews.
Mr. Ortiz-Lake.
Yeah, thank you. So who decides on whether it's monopine or the windmill or something of that nature? Is it based on functionality, or it is the location, or is it the landowner?
Well, we initiate the design with the landowner.
Mm-hmm.
We think, okay, this particular design we think would look right here. We submit to the county, and we work with the county staff, and then we ultimately come up with something that we both agree on.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Okay. Along those lines, after the last meeting, some people came up and spoke to us about what is the relationship between 5G and this and the work that you and Verizon are doing in the rural areas. Is there any relationship at all? Is it part of your licensing agreement for that?
This particular project and the other ones that I've personally been here are part of the federal government, Connect America, rural broadband. That's the impetus of these projects. That's why these are coming before you. AT&T is also adding AT&T Mobility, which is the regular AT&T phone service, as well as FirstNet, which is the first responders frequency that all the first responders can use. And then having that, once the site is in, there is a potential in the future for a 5G installation on this tower.
On this tower.
Right now there's no
right,
plans
there's
for
no
that.
Right, there's no 5G, yeah. But it could be utilized for that.
Any tower that you see is potential for that use.
I see.
As you know, as society sort of migrates to that, whatever that's going to look like.
Right. I have another question on that. When we see the... and maybe this is for staff, but I think, Mr. Ambrose, you could answer it just as well. When we see the coverage maps and we see that there's nothing there now, is that just for your company, or does that – so would – I guess I'm asking, would Verizon, if they wanted to serve this area, would they come in and show us a map with nothing on it, or would it show what AT&T?
Yeah, this is just for AT&T service.
Okay.
So Verizon may have some kind of signal, or T-Mobile maybe, but we don't know what that is, and we don't document that.
Okay. So the proliferation maps are just for AT&T service.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That helps me understand what's going on a little better.
Yeah.
So when people come in and say, we can get a signal out there, they just can't get a AT&T signal if it was blank.
It's twofold. Because these cell sites, they work on demand, so the more demand, the smaller the footprint gets. So at midnight, the footprint's going to be larger, but in the sort of in peak hours, in more dense areas, the footprint shrinks a lot. So even though someone says, I can get a signal, well, they may only be able to get it a certain time of day.
I see. Hmm.
And other times, there is literally no coverage, so there is no signal.
Okay.
I have a question for you. Some cell companies are putting those little
Small cells.
Small cells on telephone poles around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Those currently, those supplement the larger towers because of the demand. The demand right now is, you know, kind of like that, and the spiking almost straight up, and the existing infrastructure towers can't support that demand. So what the carriers are, all of the carriers are doing this is in certain areas where the there's not enough capacity for all that demand, they're supplementing the towers by putting in these what they call small cells. And those cover about a quarter mile, maybe up to a half mile. They cover very small areas, but they relieve the capacity of the larger towers that are in that same general area.
Thanks.
Okay.
And that's also a likely platform for future 5G, those installations as well.
Very good. Any other questions? Okay. I don't see anyone. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. I don't see anyone in the audience, so I'll close the hearing, bring it back to the commissioners for comments, questions to staff, or a motion. I noticed that unlike almost every other one of these towers, we got no correspondence on this one.
Right.
Whoops.
I turned that off.
But the neighbors were notified, correct?
Good thing you had a cell phone.
Yes, the neighbors were notified. 300-foot radius standard notice.
I was pretty sure they were, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it is odd that we didn't get comments. I was wondering that, too, but
notice this, but they'll get used to it, I suppose. They got used to the dinosaurs on the corner. So, any other questions? Is there a motion then?
I'll make a motion to adopt a negative declaration in accordance with the application provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act, Public Resources Code Section 21,000, and approve conditional use permit DRC 2018-00125 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
I will second that motion.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any comments on that? Okay. Ramona, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Chairman Moltari?
Yes. Thank you. That's our only hearing item for the day, so is there a motion to take the testimony and correspondence into the record?
So move.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
How about a motion to adjourn to our next regular meeting?
So move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Very good. See you in 2 weeks.
I did say aye.